All right, welcome everybody. A truly powerful topic tonight. We're talking about self-image, not at the level of fashion, but more at the level of how you perceive yourself. And where and how those self-image begin to come together. Well, early on in life, I'm going to share, by the way, what came to me this morning as the ABC of the subconscious structure of self-image. What's in it for you? Because you hear for you, by you, as you, for you. Profound realizations that will help you really reassess how you were assessed and how you've assessed yourself to have a whole new sense of you that makes you feel attractive. And it's not just a boost, it's more of a core realization, so it's organic and it feels good being you. Of course, we're not suggesting that you feel bad. We're here assuming that you're already a champion, and champions, they are willing to go beyond what most people pay attention to. That's how you really become a champion. So the first imprint, our sense of self, where does that come from? Initially, A of the ABC of the deeper structure of self-image and self-esteem stands for assessed. We have been assessed. We've been assessed by the people around us, teachers early on, and then our peers. Now, here's the question for everybody. Were you assessed in the following way? You are you just as you are. You are precious. You are your own gift to this planet. You're as capable as anybody else. Trust yourself. Follow your own heart. You have every reason to thrive and feel good about yourself. We were not assessed that way. So then we were assessed in different settings. We were assessed at the level of academics, academical, school. And maybe you were part of the few who were top of the class. But maybe if you were top of the class at the level of the grades you got, you probably got shit from your peers, teacher sped or things like that. Now, why would that matter at the level of succeeding with love, romance, and all aspects of your life? Well, think about it. I see plenty of guys, they're totally capable, but I can tell as a person who's been teaching for decades now that they have a subconscious tendency to not find themselves, feel themselves truly capable to rapidly learn new things. So the initial assessment that they were not so capable with different topics, math, or school in general, or that it wasn't bad, but it wasn't the A-plus all the time, comes in the way as a grown-up adult, and we wonder why we're not flowing with simple teachings of escalation and kino and any aspects of pickup and seduction. Then we're assessed socially, and socially, we end up part of the assessment, we end up feeling like we're at a certain position, you know? We're like not top, but we're not bottom, we're somewhere in between. And then that invisible blueprint may remain all the way to a night, in a nightclub as a grown-up adult, or anywhere. So we're going to reassess those assessments. And then based on how we are assessed, we start to try to fit in. So we compensate and then we deviate. And normally it should be that as a grown-up adult, you decide that something is important for you, no matter what aspect of the brochette or brackets of your success in life, and you go for it and you make things happen. But how often do we hear people who go, well, sometimes it's hard for me. Is it really that it's hard for you? Or is it that you bought into a bullshit assessment of yourself years ago, and because you never looked back at it, you're still under the influence of that assessment, and you constantly operate based on that initial assessment at a school level, parent level, and also at a social level with our peers. The next one is that first instant of a betrayal. And I'm not even talking about the girl you had a crush on ended up being with another guy. I'm talking way before that, because early on, the imprint, because we have not much life experience, so the imprint tend to not really be questioned. We don't have enough experience and reference to question it. So me, I remember I had a little disagreement with my cousin, and before that, we're best buddy. So I felt upset at him. I felt that he let me down. And then I felt bad that I felt that way. And then there was some element of guilt, blame, and shame. Hey, nothing more than anybody else. And I could be under the impression that it's long forgotten, but it impacts us more than we know it. And then came that time when we were compromised. We were doing something, and suddenly we got under the impression that something external stopped us. I was playing hockey, and I had a little hockey accident. What does that do to a person's sense of ambition in life? Then sometimes no wonder why some people know they could succeed, but. So we got to clear all of this, and that's the goal tonight, and I got to operate fast. This could be an entire weekend seminar, but at the same time, we don't have all that time. So the next one, it led to D, stands for disenchanted. Disenchanted. At some point, we kind of lose our hope for something amazing to happen. So that's when we begin to settle. That's when our sense of possibility is first eroded. And after that, forgive me, after that, there's that moment when we feel excluded. That initial moment of exclusion. I remember I was playing hockey and the team changed a little bit. I was also a Boy Scout. And there was a change of like the people around, and I came back after a little absence, and the little clique didn't say, "Hey, Vince, we know you've been around for some time. Come and chat with us like most grown-up, mature adults would." So it was on my side. I could very well have taken steps, but I felt excluded. Where and when did you have that feeling of being a little bit excluded? And again, we're not going to dramatize and blame the past, but I'm going to bring a couple things to your realization. There's two more after that. Then we exist as in falseness. We have a false sense of self that was eroded. If we go back through the ABC, the initial assessment, who was assessing us? Well, little kids around us being little kids, so how valid was their assessment? Grown-up adults, what did they have going on for themselves? Okay? Where were they in their own life? So those bullshit assessments, we need to look back at them and access something way more powerful, and we're going to do that in just a moment. Then there's that initial little sense of betrayal. And was it really a betrayal? No, we just became aware that at some point we're going to have differences with people. But again, we didn't have the maturity to process it like that. So we started to buy into the bullshit frame of betrayal, which automatically erodes our sense of ambition. And then, see, if we took little kids and they could think like adults, we would say, "Who wants to be a millionaire? Me! Who wants to be with the best-looking?" You took all the little boys. "Who wants to be with the best-looking girls? Me!" But comes a point where we want that, but we're not sure. So after that, there's automatically a moment where we felt we were compromised because we didn't have that reference of true championship. If you fall 10 times, you get up 11 times. So we felt that, oh, you know, I tried and it's unfair. All sorts of elements came into play, which automatically got us to be a little disenchanted. And after that, there probably was a moment where either we excluded ourselves or we felt excluded. And then we have a false impression of ourselves that was falsely filtered, and we're grown-up adults. Some may say, hey, you know, Vince, I have very good self-esteem. Well, maybe two things. Maybe it's time to raise the bar and have a new reference of it. For me, any and every time that you don't give yourself full permission to address another human being freely, and whatever they say, even if they said, don't you dare talk to me, I'm too good for you, or however they would say it, it does not matter to us because we know better. We know that they're entitled to their opinion, but their opinion is not an accurate understanding of who we are, because we understand who we are and we know our own true value. So some may say, well, you know, I've got pretty good self-esteem. Male ego comes in the way. And the challenge with male ego, it's not a thing. It's more that when we started to become aware of girls and so on, then how did we become aware of it? Maybe we heard that that one guy had kissed a girl. There was always the guy who maybe falsely came to brag and said, yeah, I slept with her. And in that moment, because we had no reference of having done that, it wouldn't have been okay, although it would have been better to go, hey, can you genuinely give me a few pointers? You know, I'm sure I can be very good at that. In that moment, we either withdrew or we pretended, we bullshitted others because it would not have been cool at 10, 12, or 14, or even 18 to just go, or even as a grown-up man, you know, to just go and open up like that. As a grown-up man, it's safe, but we still have that reference of what if everybody else goes, and the truth is that the benefit of the beautiful work that I do and the honor that I have to coach so many people, so many different places, different ages, and so on, before you know it, it made me realize, so thank you, thank you, thank you, even if you're watching for the first time or remotely, made me realize that what I thought was just a personal matter and problem and that I would have been a little embarrassed sharing with somebody else, I realized that it's the same for everybody. So if you've been isolated in your problem and on the outside you pretend or you're in denial because you want to look good in front of other men, but deep down inside you don't feel that, it's okay. You're certainly not the only one. That's everyone. So what are we going to do with this? What would have been a more intelligent assessment? We go through the alphabet, and then I take questions both on the podcast and also here live on YouTube. What would be the true assessment? There's an inner intelligence. I'm going to go spiritual. And why wouldn't I? Because if there's no spirituality, then what is there? So I'm not talking about a God that's far out. I'm talking about the fact that there is indeed an inner intelligence in operation at any given time within me, within all of us. How would we be able to register words, translate them into then images in our mind, reflect on them, compare them, contrast them? How I can speak words. The majority of them, I don't know exactly what next word will come, so something activates that. You get my point by now. All those internal functions that happen without me having to do anything about it, that in itself is that higher intelligence. So if we can intake food and it's digested, if we can hear sound and we register it and we make sense of it, if we can voice words, and that's barely the beginning of everything that's taking place, then that means there's incredible potential within us. What if the initial assessment had been who you are is pure potential, your infinite potential, and you're capable and you're able? Because if we stuck, you can't, you're not able to, you should, you haven't, subconsciously, we don't realize we're carrying those blueprints and we're doing the same shit as adults when it's a topic that is very appealing, truly fun and sexy, and we wonder why we're not getting where we want to be any sooner. Then, that sense of betrayal, we got to go beyond. Okay? If you really want to be free socially, you got to realize that the concept itself of betrayal is only valid when we exist in a victim frame. And we are not victims. Okay? And a person is free to make their own choices. So that word, I would cut it off, because ultimately is, on our part, we misjudge a person, or like a leaf on a tree that was absolutely fine for the time being, eventually falls. The person made another choice that does not lower the quality of who we are, and it does not mean that because of that we're not capable. I'm sure with all the girls that I've had throughout the years, there's been times when I didn't even know, and without telling me they were with other people. So what? That did not stop me. And eventually, we also need to outgrow that, because there's millions of people right now, as we're doing this, that are probably having sex or breaking up and so on. And because we're not invested in them, it means nothing to us. It would make us laugh or whatever. Okay? So there, the betrayal frame, we need to grow beyond it. And that will expedite your progress. Some people may call it anxiety. I personally think that it's an inner intelligence that can tell that we are not yet at a place of understanding that would make what we want beneficial, truly beneficial, or okay for us, because we could feel so hurt later on. So drop all of that. You'll speak more freely. You'll travel more lightly. Some will, some won't. So what? Compromise. That idea of compromise, we need to know that this is how we get to create better ways. A compromise is another false concept. We never really compromise. This is a catalyst. A catalyst. If nobody ever had thought like, oh man, standing all the time or sitting on a rock or laying on the ground is not comfortable, there wouldn't have been a chair or a bed and so on. Simple. I like to keep it simple. So there, drop that idea and know that it's the next level of creation. How does that apply? Well, suddenly you're in interaction. It doesn't go as far as you want. The girl doesn't show up. Let go of that tendency to feel defeated, to assume something went wrong. Realize that it's fuel to take it further. Forward, forward, forward. Our next one, disenchanted. It's easy to be disenchanted. And it's also quite deadly. Okay? Any guy that says, oh, you know, I want to be with a 10, but I do okay with 7, I think that there's a deeper core issue that you got disenchanted at some point and you thought that it was not okay to think big. So right there, restart today. Dare to experience life with a sense of enchantment. Dare to dream your biggest dream. I know that sounds like a motivational speaker out there. And nevertheless, that's true, because if we're not thinking bigger dreams and opening and rejoicing more about life, what are we doing? We're staling and regressing. And that's not attractive, because everybody wants what is happening. Okay? You ever been to a nightclub and at first like, no, guest list only? And I don't know if you're old enough, but sometimes you drive by 5 years after that, and it's no longer the freshest, hottest new thing in town. And they're almost pulling people in. Okay? Girls are fascinating. Women, before somebody corrects me and goes, they're not girls, they're women. Women, okay, are fascinating, because they will stand outside of a nightclub. And if we said, same outfit, same shoes, tomorrow in the woods, we're going hiking in the middle of the night. Hell no, it's going to be cold. It's not any colder than it was when you stood in line for 3 hours because you wanted to be part of what was happening. So the more you nurture that sense of enchantment, something amazing is about to happen, the more it's a vortex of gravitation for others. That idea of having been excluded, live and let live. Build your own entourage, and also know that it's another illusion. There's always a way to include yourself, plus the idea of being excluded is a dependence based on the non-realization that there's ample supply. And so much more could be stated, and yet let go of the falseness and know that the impression that you, I would say the starting point is this. All my brothers out there and sisters, if you're watching, the starting point out there is to at least contemplate for a second. Hey, you guys. I see some people saying hello there. Appreciate it. The starting point is to contemplate that maybe your current impression of you, as without saying that it's bad, because that would be more of the same shit, is maybe not as accurate as it is. And when we're not sure of ourselves and we hear that, I used to translate everything the wrong way. So I would hear, oh, shit, I'm even worse than what I feel I am. Way greater. So, Cobra, shred that old skin. You have grown. This is a new reality. Process it more from the best that can be in the future back to now versus still filtering yourself subconsciously from those false initial assessments. So contemplate that maybe you could perceive yourself in much greater ways if you decided to let go of those initial assessments. I know everybody's going to ask how, so I'm happy to answer questions for that. I'm going to check in the on the podcast. And good, we have quite a few listeners. So this is a time where both on YouTube or the podcast, I'm opening the floor for you to voice yourself, to contribute, to create a dynamic. We talk about social dynamic. We talk about interacting. So we must seize every little opportunity to do so. This is a solid model that I presented. If we had put a price tag on this and you had traveled a long way to hear this, I promise you, you'd be like, wow, okay? Not to validate it, but the value, the more value you recognize in a tool, the better you'll do with it. So it's for you.
So hey Vince, the floor well, is open.
Yes, I'm. You okay if I put you on speaker here?
Yep, sounds good.
Yep, yep. Go for it.
So you were talking about the ego before and, you know, it getting in the way or something. A lot of maybe like Buddhist texts or certain esoteric things like that talk about like killing the ego or removing the ego. What are your thoughts on that? And maybe your personal experience too.
Will's question is, I mentioned the ego and he referred that some Buddhist texts suggest killing the ego. I would say keep in mind that when we're dealing with words, words will never do justice to what they're trying to represent. And, yeah, I was engaged in a practice today where it was, I studied some Hinduism, and there was the reference of not killing the ego, but killing something else. We also say sometimes kill the light, meaning turn it off. But here's, I think, what it is, okay? I don't think that ego is a bad thing. I think that there's the worst form of ego would be to presuppose that within one thing, which is us, you, since you're you and me, there is good and there is bad. Imagine you arrive somewhere and you have food in front of you and we tell you, some of it is good, some of it is bad. And we're not talking at the level of taste. We're talking at the level of the impact it's going to have on you. Some of those people are good. Some of those people are really bad. So I don't think that it's very healthy, organic, holistic, and spiritual to perceive the self as containing something that is bad. I think that ego is just, bonjour, comment ça va? Somebody's saying hello to me in French on YouTube. I think that the ego is the byproduct. Ego is the byproduct of attempts to make sure we would be safe that come short because they're based on the non-understanding that there is more to us than us. So if you left by yourself in this world, presupposing that you created your nose, you're the one operating yourself, you are you because of you, then it could get a little scary. So, of course, we have to create then a defense mechanism. And if we start to embrace the fact that we're spiritual beings, that there's a force already present within us, all aspects of us, I'm not the one, I'm not a puppeteer, I'm not shoving my hands inside my skull to move my lips. Something is doing it. What is that one thing? So there's already a higher presence within. And if that higher presence can help my lips to move and know that if my bladder is full, it gives me a signal that I have to go pee, and it can give me all those signals, then of course I can count on it beyond that. So then my little plotting just to make sure that I would be safe on my own is no longer necessary and can be transcended. And then that drive to want to make sure we survive and be safe can be redirected towards a devotion to something that's higher than us. Now, we will stay in ego for as long as we don't conceive of a sense of a higher part of us that is greater. Greater meaning, for example, if you by yourself, okay, yeah, I want to have fun, I'm partying tonight. Suddenly somebody gives you a false sense of spirit and goes, no, you shouldn't do that. And you feel more and more restricted. Of course, we're all going to go, fuck it. Let me go back to what I was doing before. So we got to realize that it's more powerful. For example, I give you the perfect example. I walk in field. I'm by myself. So first, entering a nightclub or wherever, and I'm going to take you off speaker, okay? Thank you for the question. And now the question is broadened for everybody's benefit. Oh, I got to watch out.
Here.
Now you'll be able to hear me better. Multitasking. So, of course, if I enter a nightclub, I'm walking down the street, I may start to feel unsafe. So then I may start to act tough a little bit. And am I really tough, or am I just doing that as a response that I'm not feeling super safe? And then I may see other people and I may think, wow, they seem to know each other. I don't have anyone with me. So I can buy into all that stuff. But if suddenly I no longer feel that it's me, just me, fully responsible for it all, which becomes a task that's too much for me to handle. But I realize that the same force that's breathing through me, that's beating my heart, that's activating an erection, that's making it be that there's sperm within my balls, that same force that's in effect, that if I am inside a girl, I can have an orgasm. I'm not the creator of orgasm. I can enhance my orgasm. I can enhance a girl's orgasm. But whatever will be used for whatever will be done still has a source somewhere. So if I broaden my sense beyond, like, if you do this, you will perish in hell forever, then I can relax. And as I relax, intuition will come. And as intuition will come, I experience what Carl Jung called synchronicity. And to me, my seduction is synchronistic. It becomes synchronistic, meaning one thing leads to another, and before I know it, it's, wow, look what happened. If I don't stay in being concerned that I may not be okay. So I think ego is a defense mechanism that's based on fearing that we may not be okay. The way to transgress it is to recognize that I'm going to be okay no matter what. And there's going to be a broadening of this. I think, you know, it's the New Age world that first started to announce that there were different ages, and now there would be a quickening, and we would become more spiritually aware. Appealing, but how does that apply to your money, to your coldness, to pick up, and so on? So I think the announcement was correct, but now what's going to happen is that pretty much everybody's going to become aware of it in their own fucking ways. And it will create a catalyst where the awareness of it will be so broad that we'll realize, hey, for as long as we're not in that state of fear that causes us to contract and start to judge, not because we're judging for simply because we're afraid, if we're no longer in a state of fear, the rest is entirely up to us how we're going to go about it, okay? So that's my take. I'm happy to take maybe one more quick question. Allow me to make a quick announcement. There's no experience like in person because it gives you a reference in front of you. I'm doing the very last boot camp, not ever, I love it too much, of the year in Hollywood, California. Go to vincekelvin.com. It's coming up in 2 weeks, November 15th, 16th, 17th. So much is coming. Your best bet is send me an email, and I'm going to send you some gifts, and then we're going to keep you posted. We got 2020, the cosmic code to all the speakers that confirmed today. So that means Hypnotica is in with me. We got BC, and the list goes on. So you'll hear all about it, and we're doing also Las Vegas 7-day training in January. So one, I shouldn't even call it even a question because it confuses. And if I have plenty I can share, but I want to make sure that I also give you an opportunity to pitch in, voice yourself.
Hey, Vince, this is Akash. That last bit that you were talking about was absolutely phenomenal, specifically around the synchronicity piece. And I'm starting to realize more and more that the time when my best game comes about is when I relax and I'm more in tune with my environment. So can you speak, I guess, in terms of when you became more aware of the importance of synchronicity in your game and your pickup?
Beautiful. Yes, absolutely. So the question was, we've all noticed that in our own ways. There's times when you relax a little bit more and it seems to flow a little bit better. It's a two-way street. Sometimes you flow a little bit more and you relax, and sometimes you relax and you flow a little bit more. That's okay, but there's more to it. I think when we say, when I'm more relaxed, it's a gross generalization. What at the core? It's not the flow itself that's creating it. It's giving that impression, giving the permission. It's not the physical relaxation itself that's the core. The flow and the relaxation are byproducts, and they are generalization. I think it's simply when we begin to let go of excessive preoccupation. Because part of ego, it's we're in falseness. See, if we've been assessed, at some point we got betrayed a little bit, the ABC, and then we felt that we're compromised, and we're not compromised, just one. You know, at the peak of suddenly me traveling the world and teaching pickup, lower back surgery. I was doing yoga. I was doing lifting weights every day. I was still playing a whole bunch of instruments. I was running marathons. And I was fucking killing it at all levels. I'm a survivor. I didn't take it well at first, but I came back up. I did realize not too long ago that I had been eroded a little bit. Now, that's my own personal experience. You have your own personal experience of a little bit of disenchantment. So the false initial assessment is then contrasted with that urge to survive and that desire to succeed. So that means we're not going to let it go. We're not going to go, well, okay, I gave it a shot. Let me lay down forever. We're not going to do that. We're going to push, but we're pushing based on false frame and false information. So we also omit one thing. We are with us every day from the outside. You could be a good cold reader, but still you are not having the experience from the inside. So the world taught us that. We put on a smile. You know, how often do you not feel it, but, hey, how are you? Because we don't want to go to everybody. Oh, some people do that, and that's a little annoying. So now we take those three elements. A false assessment, we buy into something that is just off because it's a lower reference. It's not acknowledging that higher intelligence and force that's above and beyond, where you get on a train of thought and you can create. We can travel in our imagination. We're so fully equipped. So the false assessment, based with not knowing that the beings that we see, the guy that goes, hey, what's up? Yeah, we know if we see the guy that looks so sad right there, we can feel like, ha, 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 fuck them. That girl that's heavy, no. But if we see anyone that shows any signs of strength, any sign of being well put together, we see them engage in their craft or in their art and so on. Not to mention if we see them on a cover of something, if we see them like talking on social media, putting their best picture, we admit that maybe as they took the picture, they were preoccupied, they were unsure, maybe earlier that night they didn't want to go out. Maybe they look back at the picture and they wish they had posed differently, and maybe they dislike how their neck looks or whatever. We're unaware of that. So we stay in our own little isolation, but we want to survive. So we start to plot. It's the lower self. And we think, well, you know, if only I get more confident, then I can talk to that one and so on. And all those preoccupations, they are shrinking us. So if suddenly we go, wait a minute, first, the assessment of me was off. What would be a truer assessment? A truer assessment, the more you think about it, is, wow, miracle. You know, those people say, oh, you're a miracle. If they say it with a voice, hello, children of the light, we're all miracles. Maybe if that's your style, maybe you're going to be, yes, we're all miracles. Thank you for saying that. But if that's not your style, you're going to go, oh. And nevertheless, if we remove the style, the message is absolutely accurate. We are pure miracles. So how should the miracle feel about themselves? Phenomenal, fantastic. Okay? And from that place, we drop the preoccupation, because all those preoccupations, they're reactive. We're concerned that we may get betrayed, compromised, disenchanted, not to say disappointed, another word for that, and most of all, that we may be excluded. But we're operating from a tiny blueprint that was initially based on our tiny understanding of the world, and we need to optimize our blueprint. So synchronicity is just a byproduct of, it's simple, there's no big how. First, every how at the level of human behavior, emotions, thoughts, and so on, the answer is always the same, engage. Engage in that direction. But how do you become more playful? Engage in that direction. I could never do that, really. Yeah. You really could never do that. Are you certain you could never, ever do that? All right. See that sword? It's not a toy. It's real. Kneel. Okay? And we got 10 guys holding swords like that. You would do it eventually. So it's not that you cannot do it. It's that you are not thinking of yourself in that way. Whoopsie. Yeah. See? Breaking. Break the spell and I'm having a breakthrough here. So you want to make sure that you do understand that the how is not a big how. Start to move in that direction. And it will help you to understand where you're holding back just a touch. So that level of synchronicity is the goal is more and more drop your little concern. I should, I haven't, I need to, I think she's with that guy, what should I say, this, because all of that is only valid if we underestimate ourselves. If we begin to recognize that who we are, even in our highest moment of being most optimistic and open-minded and upbeat, it's still an underestimation, then of course you're going to flow more freely in field, and then not at the omission of powerful mechanics, okay? So I'm Vince Hollywood Kelvin. It's a true pleasure. The best is yet to come. Want to come in field with me? November 15th, 16th, 17th. I'm still a madman after all those years, more than ever before. Each year I wear off one of those crazy ass pairs of boots. Look at that one, it's all worn up, it broke over there. Why? Because I spent so many hours walking in field at night, during the day, with clients, by myself, and that's the fastest and greatest and best way to learn. Regardless, there's so much, and the ultimate way to be in touch is through immersion program. Seduction coaching immersion program is the most generous, the most potent, the most unique program on the planet to stay steady with your success. And I'll finish with this also. I had a couple of clients. I had a guy who told me, well, I'm right now, you know, I'm focusing on that exam, so I haven't done much pickup. I have a much broader idea of pickup, first and foremost. Broaden your idea of it, okay? Because if you think that pickup is that one problem that you imagine you had being resolved with one thing that will resolve it, you're missing out. It's an art of influence, of communication. It's a dance. It's all around us. It's nonstop. Every interaction counts. The guy that is not nurturing all aspects of his beingness, of course, is going to feel empty when he shows up in front of people. So it's 360. On the other hand, we should not also do those omissions, because the core of what we do is optimization. The core of attraction is, if you feel that you're starting to optimize yourself, I'm sure you've had that sense at a more individual level, focalized level. Maybe suddenly you make it to the gym a little bit more, and it doesn't pay off in 1 week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, starting to, yeah, well, it's all too early. 3 months, wow, 90 days, okay. You feel like you got the edge. You walk a little faster, you pick up stuff, it's easier. What if you do that in all areas of your life? How attractive will you feel? So my point is, what I have always offered is 360, and I've performed turnaround. I mean, I remember I've helped a group of women in at the beginning of, suddenly they gave you the name right away. They're so good at giving names. So some women had all those unease, those different points of unease, and the symptoms seemed to be the same, you know, fatigue and so on, and they called it fibromyalgia. But those poor women, if they would see doctors at the time, other than telling them, oh, it's probably fibromyalgia, okay, and you probably would ask the doctor, he said, how do you know about fibromyalgia? I just heard about it because other doctors are talking about it. And then here's the advice that they would get. The advice they would get would be, either some doctors would say, it's all in your head, or others would say, yeah, it's pretty intense, but there's nothing we can do about it. So I started to coach different groups and give them a sense of continue to search. One of them, I remember, started to exercise again. She ended up having a boyfriend and so on. So never assume that this is just and only about, like, but how do you escalate? At the same time, you're going to learn how to escalate. Wow, I can teach you ninja stuff. Thank you, everybody. Savage Arfad, S0RA Diplomat 81. What's up, you guys? Thank you so much. So I'll see you again for the next one. And here online. Okay, so. I'm still on. Okay, good. Okay, my brothers, then we continue, and be certain that you get to make it in person one of those days for a boot camp. Good night, everyone.